Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here live on Wednesday, April 24th of 2024. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And I got to say, I can't believe it's already April 24th. I know. I can't believe it myself, honestly, that it's April 24th. I mean, April flew by. Basically, it flew by. And so that basically means that by next Wednesday, we will have spent a third of the year. I don't know about you, but to me, that's, I don't want to say it's hard to believe, but I will say this. It's flying by. It really is. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but it is. Some of you may notice, some of you may not notice as you get older that it just seems like, I mean, as time goes by, that it just seems like the years just seem to go faster and faster. Obviously, the sun continues to orbit at a similar rate, of course. And God made it this way so that we'd be able to tell time based on seasons and days and years and what have you. It's part of the system that God put into place. And after the death of Jesus, you know, when he died on the cross, that clock reset. So that's how we're now in the year 2024. BC, before Christ, well, the closer you got to Christ, the lower the year got. So like 1 BC would be like 1 year before the birth of Christ. And so the year we calculate what year it is based on that. Yet many people mock our God. I mean, it's unreal if you think about it. And it's kind of cool that based on the number of years, you know, based on, you know, Jesus. I do have a joke for you. Mine today is, why is the nose not a foot? Excuse me, no, said that wrong. Whoops. I mean, why is the nose not 12 inches? A nose is not 12 inches because if it was, it would be a foot. Sorry, I didn't mean to give it away. All that was just, you know, a misspeak when I made that statement about why the foot, not 12 inches. And then all I meant, no. So it's been kind of interesting. At the gym where I go and work out, the Planet Fitness where I live, they haven't had the jokes on the board. Why? Make-A-Wish decided to take over. And as for Make-A-Wish, the one wish I make is for you to be healed, whole, and prospering. And for you to know Jesus if you don't know him. That's my wish for you. But honestly, Make-A-Wish does great things, you know, for those who are very ill and could possibly die. I mean, yeah, they do great things for those people. They really do. And then they try to grant the wishes, and the people have interesting wishes. I mean, sometimes it can be like a trip to Disney or something, or sometimes it can be other things, or it can be different things. I was just thinking about something. And that is, you know, the best place a Christian can be at here on the earth, the highest house you could ever go to is the house of God. It's higher than any other building you could go to, like the country, like the White House here in America, or in the United Kingdom, the King or Queen's Castle, or in India, the Taj Mahal, or in different other countries, different symbolized places that symbolize, different things. But the house of God is where God is. Of course, Jesus lives in us. How God is where he dwells and his presence is. And we're meant to be in his house. And that's where we get that from. Better is one day in your courts, one day in your rooms, one day in your house, than thousands of days elsewhere. And I would say, isn't that true? Yes, I would say so. I mean, obviously, there's other places we have to go and what have you, but the glory of the Lord. What's in his house? There's no arena you could go to, no ball auditorium, no thing like that that has the same, presence of God in there. I mean, yeah, there can be things aesthetically pleasing and all that, and different places, indoors or outdoors, that you might take pictures of or whatever, but they don't compare to the house of God. So the house of God, it's a place you want to learn to respect. It's important to respect the house of God, I think, think about it. It's not your grandpa's house, your grandma's house, your house, or your friend's house, God's house. And that is what I got to say about that. And that's my 2 cents worth on that. No, and of course, hello to YouTube, all of you watching on YouTube. Thanks for joining tonight. And I was taking a few minutes last night, kind of explaining what the show is about. And in case someone was wondering, you know, Miracle Man, why is it that you don't really talk about politics on your show as a regular basis? There's so many differing political opinions, for one. For two, that doesn't necessarily breed life. You were to call into my show and just insist on talking about politics, I would tell you to pray for those who have authority over you. And now every once in a while, something happens, you know, I might give my 2 cents worth. Well, or, you know, as election day comes, I might talk to you a bit about voting and why we should vote Christian and stuff like that, and not necessarily vote just based on a pocketbook or other personal interests we might have, whether it be the environment, whether it be, you know, who's for this thing, who's for that thing, who supports that thing, who supports this thing. And so, and if you're looking for someone, you know, that'll talk politics, there are different political shows you can tune into. I personally would recommend people like Sean Hannity and Mark Levin. I used to recommend Rush Limbaugh, but he's no longer with us, so I can't do that anymore because he passed on. So I can't recommend him anymore because he's not with us. But people like Mark Levin, or Glenn Beck, if you would, or Sean Hannity, those are good ones. Bill Cunningham, the great American, on every Sunday night, heard on stations across America. He's great. As for the other side, I'd just soon not go down that rabbit hole. What I will say about the election coming up in November is this. Prayer alone won't do it this time. As Christians, we have to get out there and vote. It is not an option. It is not a good option as a Christian. I'm going to go vote for this good candidate and then not even end up voting. No, as Christians, we have to go vote. make our voice heard. Pray that whatever plots may be planned by the cheating, those who try to cheat, those who try to steal the election, that all of those plans are stopped. So yes, we pray, and we also vote. Prayer alone won't do it. We have to vote. We have to. If we don't get it right this time, I think America as we know it will be basically be about done. If America falls, the free world falls with it. So that's why we have to vote. That is the politics, the only politics you'll be getting from me tonight. I am the Miracle Man, Rabbi Shukla, and I do approve this message, not paid for by any political party. No. You wouldn't mind playing the commercial. Go ahead. I want to remind you of a couple quick things. First of all, I want to remind you of the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life, the story about how great God has been. A God that my mom could not see but strongly believed in. And I will say that it's a great book. It's called Rivers of Miracles. Please, if you would, please go online to the website, riversofmiracles.com, in order to buy the book, Rivers of Miracles. You can choose to either, you know, find out information about the book, or you can choose to buy the book. Right then, right there. And I pray that as you read the book, it will increase your faith. Because there's a lot of great miracles in that book about what God's done for me and how God's been there for me. And if God can do all that stuff for me like he's done, how much more can he be there with you? If he can do it for me, he can totally do it for you. And I'm proof that this stuff works. That this serving God and walking with God and walking by faith, it works. It's great to be a Christian. I love my Jesus. You can go online to Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles and how it can be a blessing to you. The other thing that I would like to remind you about is the PayPal. If you love what the show has done for you, if you love what God has done in your life, you know, and you love what this word has done, me coming to you like this has done for you, please consider sowing a seed into the Miracle Man program. You can do that by going online to paypal.com and in the search bar typing in Rivers Shukla. That's my name. Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And the last name, Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind, if you would, please keep in mind, if you would, that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing that I would like for you to keep in mind is that the first R in Rivers is capitalized, as is the S in Shukla. Please keep that in mind if you would. As you sow your seed, as you sow your seed, I want you to think in your mind, what are you sowing the seed for? What do you believe in for God to do on your behalf? Are you believing for healing? Are you believing for deliverance from something? Are you believing God for something for a family member? What is it that you're believing for God to do? And just keep that in mind. As for the amount to give, I don't come on here and tell you how much to give. And you know what else I don't do? What I'm not going to do? I am not going to turn my episodes into auction sessions where I start doing fundraisers and auctioning things off. No, I won't be auctioning people off either, so you're safe. You're safe. You're not being auctioned off. Yay. Otherwise I could just bring all y'all in here and start doing 3.5, 5.5, 7.5, 8.5, 9.5, 11.5, 12.5, like those auctioneers do. Going once, going twice. Sold! Yay. Because that's what these auctioneers do. I won't be doing that on my program. So it's up to you to decide how much to sell. I am not going to tell you how much to sell. That's for you to decide. So the verse I want to sow to your life tonight says, whosoever soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. And whosoever soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. In other words, sow a little, reap a little. Sow a lot, reap a lot. Think of the lady that Jesus talked about, where in the temple, an offering was being taken. These wealthy people came up there, and they put big offerings, man. Lots of money in there. But then there was this lady who had hardly nothing. But she put everything in. You know who God thought higher of? Jesus thought higher of? The one who put in everything. No, I'm not saying give me all your money. But God can tell, where your heart is based on, how you sow. It's about the heart. And keep in mind that I pray for your seeds. When I get notification that they have been sown, I pray for those seeds. So make a note of that if you would, please. Now we're going to sing a couple songs and then get into the word of the Lord. Tonight I'm going to teach on the 10 virgins. With the parable of the 10 virgins, and how does it compare, to the last days? Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things, because it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible through you. Blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. I am living by faith. Nothing is impossible. Not gonna live by what I see. Not gonna live by what I feel. Deep down I know that you're here with me. I know that you can do anything. Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible through you. Blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. I am living by faith. Nothing is impossible. Whoa, 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 whoa. Not gonna live by what I see. Not gonna live by what I feel. Deep down I know that you're here with me. I know that you can do anything. Through you, blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. I am living by faith. Nothing is impossible. Whoa. Whoa. I believe in you. 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 Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things. 'Cause it's you gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Through you, blind eyes are open. Strongholds broken. I am living by faith. Nothing is impossible. I believe in you. I believe in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. But Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What can separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. They tore before you, silenced the boast of sin and grace. The heavens are roaring, praise you of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You stood before creation. You spoke the earth and my shame. You spoke the earth into motion. My soul now to stand. So what could I say? What could I do? I'd offer this heart, oh God. Completely to you, what could I say? what could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I walked upon salvation, Spirit alive in me, my life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. Oh, what could I say? What could I do? I'd offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. What could I say? What could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. Completely to you. My Lord Jesus, completely to you. Oh, completely to you, Lord. I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned, in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. I'll stand with thumbs high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. My soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. All I am is yours. All I am is yours. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All we have is yours. Thank you, Jesus. All we are is yours. Thank you, Jesus, that you are in our midst. It's great to serve you. It's great to know that you are on our side. You are the great I am. You are the Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord God, that you are powerful. You're powerful for in us. Thank you, Master, that you are here for us. You are our helper. You are the God that created us. You are our great God. Thank you for what you're doing in each and every one of us, that you're helping us. You're making us who we ought to be. Thank you, Master, that you're healing our bodies right now. You're healing our minds right now. I speak to these storms in our lives to calm down right now. I claim that oppression, depression are broken off of us right now. In your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that we are in a minute going to open up your word and study for a little while tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that these listeners are prepared to receive anything and everything that you have for them. I thank you now for that, for your hand on their lives, and for what you're doing in them. And that these listeners would be ready to receive and would be attracted to your word tonight and not be distracted by other things. And I thank you for that tonight. And now I make my confession over this program. I thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that more and more listeners tune into this program on YouTube and on Blog Talk Radio. Most importantly of all, Jesus, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew. Ooh, amen. Matthew chapter 25. Amen. Matthew 25. We'll be talking about the last days a bit tonight. We're in the last days, so sometimes it makes sense to talk about it a bit, I think. I mean, we're getting closer and closer all the time. No, this will not be an eschatology class. Eschatology being the study of last days things. We'll be looking at this chapter, chapter 25. I'm going to be in verse 1. If you're there, listeners, try to say amen at home, at least. Praise God. The rest of you, I guess I should send you to new convert school or something. No, just kidding. I'm teasing. Begin with verse 1 of Matthew 25. I'm reading from the NIV. You follow along with whatever version you have. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and set out to meet the bridegroom. Red letters. Who is that? Shout it at me, listeners. Who is that? Jesus. Amen. That's Jesus. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were what? Were foolish. And 5, and the other 5 virgins were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Mm. Verse 6. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." While they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. And the door was still propped open. And oh, really? It wasn't. It wasn't? Try this again. While they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with them for the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Closed. Verse 11. Later, the others also came. Sir, they said, "Open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth. I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Of what? The coming of the Lord. Now let's go on to the next passage, verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called a servant and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 10 talents of money. To another, 2 talents. And to another, 1 talent. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. The master replied, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. The master replied, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I do not have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have in abundance whatever does not have. Even what he has or thinks he has will be taken from him. And throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Next passage. This is where he talks about the sheep and the goats. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king, capital K, will say, those on his right, God will say to the ones on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Where I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will respond, or reply, the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, or in other words, whatever you did to help someone else, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'You fellows! Oh, wait. You think he said that? No, he didn't say that to them. Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you evildoers.' Into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels," which are actually the demons. I added that in there. "For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, 'Lord, When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. They will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous have eternal life. So you see, three different stories, three different parables he gave in that chapter, all in red letters. That whole chapter, Jesus talking to his disciples about comparisons to the end of the age. In the first part, the first passage, the first parable, he's comparing it to coming to, you know, the virgins that were invited to the wedding. And there's the five virgins who are wise, the five virgins who are fools, foolish. They all get tired. They all fall asleep. The wise one, you know, they all wake up at midnight and they hear the call. Bridegroom's about here. Bridegroom's about here. He's coming. Wise ones, they're all ready. The foolish ones beg for the oil, and they're like, I don't have it. We don't have it. Give us some of your oil. Wise ones are like, no. There might not be enough for us in here. Welcome, man. Weren't the wise virgins being a bit harsh because they wouldn't help? No. No. There wouldn't have been enough oil for both. So the foolish ones, they decide to go to the store or the marketplace or whatever that they would have gotten some oil for their lamps. Well, essentially say they went to the store to buy it. When they get back from the store, they see that the bridegroom had came and took all those people with him. They went in the banquet, door closed. They're begging the master, let us in, let us in now, come on, let us in. But Jesus said no, saying, Jesus basically was saying, I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't plan to hear Jesus say to me, I don't know you. Yeah, but I did this and this for you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I reached these people for you, Jesus. I don't know you. Well, yeah, but I blah, 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 blah. I didn't know you. I don't know you. I don't plan to hear Jesus saying that to me. I don't think Jesus will be saying to me, I never knew you. Not saying that to boast on me. But what would Jesus say to you? what would he say to you? Would he say to you, good job? Glad to have you. Or would he say, I don't know you? Hopefully, he won't be having to tell you, I don't know you. We have the next story, the story of the talents. The first guy has five, puts his money to work, he has 10. Second guy has two, puts his money to work, has 4 talents. And then guy number 3, 1 talent, he hides it. And he basically says the master's hard. And he basically said, you know, the master gathered where he hadn't scattered seed and reaped where he hadn't sown, and all that kind of stuff, like accusing the master. And then the guy only had the one, he got upset, he hit it. And the guy says, well, you could have given it to the bank. Could have put it on deposit, is what the master says. You could have put it in deposit, but you didn't. But you know what he said to the other two when he met up with them? How did you do? What did you do with what I gave you? Person number one, the one who had the 5 talents, now is 10. What do you do? You know, person number one, yeah, basically says, well, I had all these talents. I put them to work for me. And I did this and this and this and this and this, and I earned more and that. And see, Master, now I have 5 more. You know what he said? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I've put you in charge of many things. Come and share your father's happiness. Or Jesus would say, enter into the joy, my joy. Person number 2. Didn't have quite the same ability as the guy who had the 5 talents. But he still put it to work. He gains 2 more talents. So he now has 4 talents. Guy number 2 goes up there to his master and has the same talk with him. You know, master says, sir, what'd you do? Well, I had 2 talents that you gave me. I gained 2 more. And then here's what I did with. Did with them, you know, I helped, you know, and I did this and that and what have you. Now I have 4. She says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little bit. Now I'll put you in charge with a lot. Come and share your master's happiness or enter into the joy of the Lord. Person number 3 comes up next. They had the same talk, but it didn't end the same way. And this time the master said, to the guy who has the 1, give it to the guy who has the 10, and throw him out into the darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth. When I hear of weeping and gnashing of teeth, you know what that means? Hellfire. Hellfire. Where you don't want to go. Parable number 3. Jesus talks about, you know, the parable of, Mom is like, when did we ever see you hungry, thirsty? You know, he's like, I'm hungry. You fed me. Thirsty. You know, it's the sheep and the goats. And to the sheep, he basically says, you did what I needed you to do. You were great to one another. You helped each other out. You know, you sought me. You did great things. You folks were awesome. But then the sheep say, Lord, when did we ever personally see you hungry and feed you, thirsty, give you a drink, needing clothes you, a stranger, and let you in? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and help you? He says, whatever you did for one of the least of these. In other words, he said, whatever you did for my people, you did for me. Same thing when he talked to the goats. And the goats said, well, when did we see you hungry, thirsty? When did we ever see you hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, in prison, and not help you? You know what Jesus said to him? Whatever you didn't do to help those people, you didn't do for me. And then he said to the goats, get away, evil doers. Depart from me. To hellfire they go. What does that mean? You'll be judged by your life. You'll be judged by your works. You will. Everyone will give an account. Did you follow? Did you do the things that he said to do? First off, based on what we read tonight, did you accept me as your Lord and Savior, we could say? But the first one's about virgins. And if he doesn't know you, that basically means like you didn't accept him as your Lord and Savior. I don't plan to hear Jesus say to me, I never knew you. I never knew you. Your name's not in my book. I don't plan to have him go to, you know, look through my book, look through his book and go like, River Shukla. Is it here? No. It's not? No. I plan to have him looking and he goes, River Shukla. Oh, here it is. Oh, and then hear him say, oh yeah, I'm proud of you. Well done. Enter into my joy. That's what I plan to hear him say. I plan to hear him say, well done. Not saying, you know, you are wicked and lazy. Or I never knew you. or depart from me. I plan to hear him say, come on down. Obviously, he'll say it something like that. No, this is not The Price is Right. This is a Miracle Man show. But obviously, I think he just would be happy with me. I mean, I planned for him to be. And I don't think I'm living a life for him in vain. Obviously, you know, I don't want to boast to myself, but I do believe Jesus would be happy with me. But what about you? Have you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? What's your church attendance like? What is your attitude like? Are you helping people? Are you loving people? Or are you holding grudges against people and refusing to walk in forgiveness? Are you deciding to judge people instead of asking? Instead of forgiving them who sinned against you? What's your tithing record like? Are you living in sin or are you living for him? This is the last of the last days, folks. Some of you listening, if you're younger, you might think you got 40 years to get right with God. Oh, really? You don't know that you got 40 years to get right with God. We're getting closer and closer to the rapture by the day. He could come any time. If I were you, I'd be making sure I was right with God. If you're not right with God, I can help you get right. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I can help you get right with God. Help you make a confession. It's 15 seconds. It costs you nothing. And guess what else? It's painless. In fact, it actually takes pain away. Those of you listening to this broadcast, you repeat this prayer after me like it's you who also needs saved or needs to rededicate your life to Jesus. Heavenly Father, I'm before you. I ask you to help me. Change me. I confess, Jesus, that you are my Lord and Savior. I'm tired of being my own God. I'm tired of calling my own shots. I ask you to change me. Make me into who you want me to be. Help me to walk in your ways. I will dwell in the house of the Lord in Jesus' name. You know, for those of you who gave your lives to Jesus or came back home to Jesus, the angels in heaven are throwing a party right now for you, knowing that people have given their lives to Jesus or decided to come back home. But the demons in hell, they're not happy. And for those of you who prayed that prayer just because I said pray it, oh, feels as good this time as it did the last time. Amen and amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you that we would be those who do your work, and not just those who hear it and decide not to do anything about it. I thank you that we would examine ourselves, and that we would, one, make sure we're ready for your coming, and two, make sure that we're doing what we should be for you and what you've called us to do. And I thank you for that in your name. Amen. In terms of, now a real quick sports update, and that is, I would not be surprised if the Lions traded out of the first round and gave their first round pick to someone else and decided to pick, you know, a couple people from the other rounds. But then again, it might not be a bad idea to maybe drop a backup or something. Because it's always good to have some good backups in case you have some injuries. But that's my take on it. All right, folks. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, and no plague shall come to our dwelling. Who you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drunk or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, no sickness, no disease, no fire, no flood, no crash. None of this evil stuff is going to come near us. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I sure love you. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.